What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
The light bulbs are going off in my head. This is like deep.
I just haven't thought of it that way.
It's mind-blowing to me. I don't know if I've ever had anybody put it that plainly to me before.
All this time I've been going to church, this never resonated with me.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Masters University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and I have the privilege of being your host, and we've been talking about bitterness and forgiveness. Over the past three episodes, I've done my best to say, what is bitterness? How do we facilitate in forgiveness? And today, I want to help address the practicalities of forgiveness. So today, we're going to talk about practicing forgiveness. But I want to address it in a way that's a little bit of a different perspective from what we've already covered. You see, if you're a faithful listener or you've listened to most of the episodes of Transform Now, you remember that I did a conflict resolution series not too long ago. And in that series, I talked through at the end, I talked through the principles and the promises of forgiveness. Today, I actually want to spend some time answering questions that pertain to forgiveness. For instance, what if a person doesn't seek forgiveness? Or what if I don't feel like it? Or if I owe them something or have damaged something and I've sought forgiveness, do I still owe that to them? So that's my goal today. But just by way of recap, if you've missed last episodes, I would encourage you to touch base, first of all, with the episode on bitterness, because in the end, I said bitterness is something like a coldness, a puffiness, a harshness, a resentment. That's the way the scripture is going to describe it. And that bitterness is often coming from a heart issue, a root issue, where we're wanting something, we're not getting it. And that might be justice. That might be to control a circumstance. So be sure to go back and brush up on that episode. The second episode, I talked about facilitating forgiveness. And the big picture was to grow in love, meditate on God's forgiveness to you through Christ, and then work on understanding your role and managing your expectations of yourself and others based off of John 21. So today, let me start by saying that I've actually seen forgiveness practiced in such beautiful ways in the counseling context. You see, there are times in counseling when an egregious sin has taken place. And for me, it's mostly been in marriage counseling where I am helping meet with folks to work through situations like adultery, use of pornography by the husband, abusive, like verbal abuse, things that were just heinous sins. I've been able to see God practice, I guess the clear way to say is God working through someone to apply the gospel. So by God practicing, it would probably be more accurate for me to say people to practice God's principles through his word. And when forgiveness comes in that way, it honestly is just a miracle. It's a beautiful work of God in people's lives. And yet around forgiveness in the counseling context, it seems to me that we all face similar questions as we're wrestling with, how do I forgive? What does that practically look like? What if they're not asking for forgiveness and so forth? So that's how I've tried to develop today's episode, to address those questions regarding practicing forgiveness. So let me start with the first question that typically is part of the conversation, which is, what if the person who has sinned against us does not seek forgiveness? What about that instance? Do I have to forgive them if they do not want to be forgiven, or perhaps don't think they did anything wrong? Let me answer that with two sides of the same coin. You see, it within biblical counseling and with practical theology as a whole, most people are going to say that there's generally two postures. One is that you're going to say something like this. Well, according to the scripture, you must be ready to forgive and to be restored with your brother. That's the Matthew 18. You've confronted them. They've turned from their sin. Great. Or that is the Matthew 5, you left your gift at the altar and you went to your brother and they repented and you guys are right again. So you have a readiness to forgive them if they confess. There are others who would say you have to lavish forgiveness on people, even if they're not asking for it. But usually they would say we're not reconciled in that relationship. So when a person is saying lavish forgiveness, you know, forgive them like God forgives you, oftentimes they don't mean that your relationship is restored. In fact, when I've pressed people on that issue, I haven't heard someone say, yes, lavish forgiveness on them and your relationship will be just like it was. So that's why I say it's kind of two sides of the same coin, because sometimes it feels like semantics. So the way that I would answer that directly is that however you answer that question, number one, we know that bitterness is not permitted because that's sinful. Ephesians 4:31, we're to put away resentment and bitterness. As we discussed, resentment is not an aspect of Christian love. So we know bitterness is not an option. And we know that we are only going to be reconciled in our relationship when repentance has taken place. So most of us, when we answer the question, what if they don't forgive? Well, you do need to have a posture of forgiveness, is the way that I would say it. And that posture of forgiveness, I've always imagined, and as I explain this to counselees, I imagine as I'm holding a gift in my hand and I'm preparing to offer it to you, which is the cancellation of the relational debt you created, and you have to actually accept that gift, which is the forgiveness. I do think Luke 17:1 through 3 says, if your brother repents, then forgive him. So we have this readiness to forgive, which is different from bitterness. But it also means if you say, I don't need to be forgiven by you, I haven't done anything wrong, then we are not going to be relationally right. So do I forgive people that have not sought my forgiveness? Well, I think you offer forgiveness to them, and before the Lord, you are ready to grant that, but that you can only be reconciled with a person when they have in fact repented and turned from their sin. Second question, what if I don't feel like it? And many of us might not articulate it in such a way and say, well, I don't feel like forgiving you, so I'm not going to forgive you. But the reality is that when we say that, we mean something like this, which we will say, I'm not ready to forgive you yet. I've heard that. I've heard that multiple times in counseling, even in my own personal life, where a person will say something like, I'm not ready to forgive them yet. And what do we mean? Well, our blood pressure is still a little high, in all candor. Like the vein in my forehead's pulsating. That's what I mean. I mean, like, I'm mad at you. I'm mad at what you've done. I'm inconvenienced by you. I'm not ready to forgive you if by that I mean I don't have warm emotions of love and affection toward you. So in our culture, it seems disingenuous to say, I forgive you and cancel the debt while inwardly I'm wrestling with emotions that are not positive toward you. But just know that in the Bible, and we teach this within biblical counseling quite regularly, Ephesians 4:32, okay? Think this through. This is a command to follow. And there are going to be times when you do not feel like forgiving that person. You do not have warm affections, but they have repented and they are seeking your forgiveness. And I would say you now have a command to obey, such that, let me read for you from Matthew chapter 6. And if you have your Bible, I would encourage you to turn over there as well. So you have a command to obey, and this is going to be such that just after the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 14, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. What does that mean? Well, it does not mean that you can lose your salvation. We know that for sure, that you are secure in your eternal position within Christ. That's John chapter 10. But when you harbor sin, it does disrupt your fellowship with the Lord. So you have resentment in your heart and you think it's not actually hurting anyone, but it's actually hurting your relationship with the Lord first and foremost because you're not forgiving. So if you in some way use your emotions as a reason for why you're not forgiving, you're moving to a place of disobedience, and that's a very dangerous place to be. It's not even about you and that other person anymore. Now it's about, will you be obedient to what the Lord is calling you to do? So what if I don't feel like it? I think you have to pray for the Lord's help. Lord, I need your help to practice forgiveness towards this person because I have animosity, I have anger, I have frustration over what they've done. Lord, please help me to practice your word in my life today. You're going to have to bank on God's grace to change your emotions and to change and let those feelings dissipate. But you cannot let your feelings be what prevents you from being obedient to God. Trust me, guys, I get it. I've been sinned against in my own life as well. And there are times where it's like, hey, it doesn't feel like the vein in my forehead is ever going to go down. How am I ever going to practice forgiveness? Well, it's by saying, I got to do this even though my feelings don't match what God's word's telling me to do right now. Next question, do I owe them anything when I've sought forgiveness? So there are times when we actually cost a person and we inconvenience them. It's time, it's money, it's resources. When we seek forgiveness, does that mean that they now have to write off all of the material consequences that we have helped incur for them? I'm going to answer that question when we come back for our break. So we will be right back.
And as Dr. Gifford said, we will be back in just a moment here with more Transformed as he continues to talk about bitterness this week, more specifically, the area of forgiveness. And while we're taking this breather, I want to point you in the direction of the Transform store at transform.org because I want to recommend to you a resource we have available by Brian Borgman. It's a book titled Feelings and Faith. And he has a chapter in the book titled Unforgiveness and Bitterness. In the book, Borgman writes, if a person is unforgiving, it may be that they have never truly embraced the forgiveness of God for their sins. Only those who appropriate God's forgiveness by a life of forgiving others show that they have genuinely accepted his pardon. Those who are forgiven must forgive lest they show themselves incapable of receiving forgiveness. And to that, we can say disciples are the forgiven who forgive. It's Feelings and Faith. It's written by Brian Borgman, and you'll find it available right now at the Transform store at transformed.org. Also, while you're there, you might also want to consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. We certainly would appreciate it if you would. We want to continue delivering deep biblical insight to emotional and psychological issues that people are dealing with every single day. But in order for that to happen, we need your support because not only are you helping us to produce Transformed, but all of the resources that we're able to produce, like Road Trip to Truth, Breaking Bread, Wretched Radio, and TV, you can find out more right now on how you can become an ongoing monthly gospel partner at transformed.org. And we're committed to not just helping people with their issues, we're also committed to equipping others in a myriad of ways. And one particular way that would be by becoming biblical counselors. Man, our churches, if you haven't noticed, are in desperate need of biblical counselors. You can find resources available on our website right now in order to do just that. One I would recommend is called Counseling: How to Counsel Biblically, written by Dr. John MacArthur. One of the strongest sentences he writes in the entire book. He says, the role of the biblical counselor is not to replace the work of the Holy Spirit, but to facilitate it. Listen, it's a guide that integrates scripture deeply into counseling methods. It's a book that is solid, it's theologically robust, and it is relevant. So pick it up. It's available right now at transformed.org. It is a must read if you're serious about diving into the world of becoming a biblical counselor. Now, I know we've covered a lot in just this short amount of time, and we are going to jump back to Dr. Greg Gifford now as he continues this week exploring bitterness in the form of forgiveness. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
The world's definition of beauty is simply not found in the Bible. Instead, the Bible informs us that true beauty is defined not by this world, but by God Himself.
Now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back from our break. And thank you to Jimmy. He always does such a good job in helping us learn about different resources and editing this specific show. And so, Jimmy, you are the man. Thanks for your work there. We have been talking about practicing forgiveness and some of the questions that practically address that. The question that I proposed to you just before the break was this: do I owe them anything when I've sought forgiveness? When we seek forgiveness, does that just cancel a debt? Let's just say that I borrowed your car. I needed it. Mine was in the shop. And so I was going to use yours for the day while my car was in the shop. But yet while I was driving it, I was going a little fast, honestly, maybe 5 over the speed limit. You know, some of us are from larger cities and we know that that's just how you stay alive on the highway as you try to keep up with the pace of traffic. And it was my fault. I actually sideswiped into the car and did some significant damage. I didn't see them as I was changing lanes. So now my car is in the shop and I bring your car back to you. And through my own fault, because of my speeding, it was actually my fault in that accident that I guess incited would be the best term. While I was in your car, that was my fault as well. Man, this is just like a stretch of bad luck here. So when I come to you, I say, you know what? Thank you for letting me borrow your car. I am so sorry about the damage on it. Will you please forgive me for that? And you say, you know what? I'm going to practice what the Lord has practiced towards me. And yes, I am going to forgive you. And I say, oh, thank you so much. And then I hug you and then I walk off. And you're like, hey, whoa, hey, let's talk about how this damage is going to get fixed on the car. And I'm like, whoa, hey, I asked for forgiveness. You said you forgave me. Maybe you didn't forgive me if you're wanting me to repair your car now. You see, practically, we know there's something off about that. But biblically, the answer is that restitution is a biblical principle, meaning that if I have cost you something materially, then yes, there may be a sense in which I need to seek your forgiveness. And if I have cost you something materially, then I need to be prepared to help restore that to you out of a genuine heart of repentance. So we know in the scripture that 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says Christians should work together to come to legal agreements. And Paul's going to say, between a Christian and a Christian, don't take that before an unbeliever. Don't take it before the world. So Christians are to do their best to avoid lawsuits and to work together to come to an amenable or mutually agreeable decision. So in the instance of me damaging your car, the best answer would be that I just know that I have to help you repair it. The second best answer is I don't know that, but then we begin to have that conversation and you say, look, Greg, look, my deductible is X amount of dollars. I need you to help me do that. Okay, all right, I need to find $1,000 or $1,500, whatever your deductible is, I need to find that. And then give that to you so you can get your car repaired. But it would not be okay for me to exonerate myself by saying, look, I asked for forgiveness. Why are you saying I need to help you with your car? You said you forgave me. If you're looking for a clear example of this, Ken Sandy uses in The Peacemaker Zacchaeus in Luke 19, where Zacchaeus is actually converted. And we know that part of his work as a tax collector was to skim some off of the top, which means not that the Roman government was going to get skimmed, but that the people were paying more taxes than they needed to. So what does Zacchaeus do whenever he is converted and he becomes a follower of Christ? He restores all that he has taken. A sign of his genuine conversion is that he goes above and beyond what the Mosaic law expected of him. When a person is genuinely repentant over the material consequences that they have caused you, then there should be a willingness to work with you and help come to an agreement. And if you guys can't come to that between you and them, then get another wise Christian involved, not a family member. Okay, so yes, do I owe them anything when I've sought forgiveness? The answer is yes. You need to be ready to restore what you have broken, lost, stolen, whatever that is. You need to be ready to do that. Now, number 4, how should we relate to each other after forgiveness? You know what? Just to be honest with you, this is the most awkward part of conflict resolution in my world. I don't mind doing a level of like confrontation. It's not my favorite thing. But what's more awkward for me is relating to that person after we've already had that confrontation. So I want you to imagine all of you are familiar with bank accounts. Now, some of us are familiar with less money in our bank accounts, or some are familiar with more money in our bank accounts, but we at least have that principle. And think of your bank account, that the more you deposit into it, the higher the equity or the higher the amount of dollars in that bank account grows. The more you deduct from it, the more you charge or spend, the less that there is there. Think of your relationship with the individual that you have just practiced forgiveness. They've sought your forgiveness. You have sought their forgiveness. Okay, you have cashed out on relational equity with them. But what the scripture is going to call you to do is, once you have forgiven them, reconciliation means that our relationship is going to go back to what it looked like before that sin debt occurred. So when I say I forgive you, but I'm never talking to you again, honestly, I think that's wrong of me. I don't know if I really have forgiven you. So this is the reality, that if we have practiced forgiveness and there's no legal ramifications to what you've done, there's no safety ramifications to what you've done, if we're talking about a relational debt that you created, when I say I forgive you, then I need to be willing to go back to that relationship. One of the principles for why this is true is that when we see the Lord restore us, He does not remove the consequences. Rather, He moves back into relationship with us. So sin hinders that relationship. It disrupts fellowship. And when we confess and forsake it, then we are restored back to God through Christ. And in our personal relationships, for us to say, I forgive you, but I never want to see your face again, it's like, no, you need to invest back into that relationship. And as you do that, the equity of that relationship will grow. And I can assure you guys, if you're willing to do good to that person and they're willing to do good to you, give it two or three times together and it will be less awkward. The next time you're with them, it's going to be super awkward. But the second time and the third time, it's almost like things kind of go back to normal. But if you never spend time with them again and you never invest by doing good, then that relationship is going to stay awkward and it's going to sour. So how do you relate to each other after you have practiced those four principles of forgiveness? You go back to what your relationship looked like before. If we were just coworkers before, then that's most likely what it's going to stay as. If we were close friends, then let's try to cultivate that. Obviously, if we're spouse, then we're working on that and we're working on our marriage together. But it would be unrealistic of me to say, hey, we were only coworkers before, but now I think we're going to be close friends after that sin debt took place. Most of the time, that's not the way that it's going to work. So I need to say, look, if I am removing this debt by canceling it through forgiveness, then our relationship is going back to what it was before that debt was created. All right, last but not least, last question for today. And hopefully these are helping at least answer those questions that you guys have been asking along the way. And by the way, I have received so many positive emails, questions about just teasing out what I've said here. So I look forward to answering some of those in the next episodes as well. So keep sending them, greg@transformed.org. And as you send those, I will do my best to answer them on air or even respond to some of them privately via email as I can. So last question, is forgiving the same thing as forgetting? No, it is not. Just matter-of-factly, it is not. The command to forgive is the command to cancel the relational debt. And yet some of us have endured things that were so painful that we are never most likely going to erase those from our memory. Remember, the promises of forgiveness are that we're not going to brood on this and we're not going to let that memory come and percolate within our mind. That we're going to renew our mind with things that are honorable, true, and pure, according to Philippians 4:8, not with that incident. And yet I may never forget what happened to me. So there is a difference between saying, I remember it, but I am doing my best to not let it stand between us. There is a difference. And just because I say, I forgive you, it doesn't mean that my memory has been erased in some weird like CIA Jason Bourne type way. I still have my memory, but the reality is I'm not letting that memory and that incident stand between us because we have already practiced repentance and forgiveness. So we're doing our best to be reconciled. So never, ever, ever do I find it to be helpful to say, well, I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget what you did. It's like, okay, thank you, ? For your forgiveness. I think we say something like, I forgive you and I will do my best to not let that memory hinder our relationship. I'm not going to let it stand between us. And there may still be consequences, especially if this is blurring the lines of safety and legality there still may be significant consequences. You still may have to help me repair my car, so to speak. But in the end, I am not going to let that stand between us. So guys, I know this has been a lot. I know that some of you are actually wrestling with huge burdens of bitterness. So the next step I would say is take God at his word and believe him. When you practice forgiveness, it honors him and it sets you free. Let me pray that God would do that for you. Lord, I do come to you hoping that you would continue to work within the lives of the listeners, that there are some that need to let it go for your glory and cancel debts through forgiveness. And may you work in such a way that you would be honored in those circumstances and that they would be blessed as they obey you through your word. So give us grace for this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Gospel Partners Media. Our website, transformed.org, is your central hub for finding in-depth information on all things Transformed. If you've enjoyed Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends. And also, prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Thank you for listening, and until next time, go serve your King.